1590 AM Denmark, W250 CV Green Bay,
and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Dave Packer. At least four people dead, some 800,000 customers without power this morning after extreme weather swept across southeast Texas late yesterday. Houston hit hard. ABC's Mika Hatfield is downtown.
We were down here when this storm blew through downtown, and I can tell you it was a very, very scary experience. The wind was so strong. People we've spoken to have said it's been worse than hurricanes that they've either covered or been in Houston and experienced. The streets are blocked off because there are buildings that the windows are just falling out of.
The New York Times reporting that Supreme Court Justice Samuel Alito had an upside-down American flag flying in his yard just days after the January 6th riot at the Capitol. The inverted flag, viewed as a Stop the Steal symbol used by some Trump supporters, Alito says it was his wife's idea, not his. The White House moving to ease federal rules on marijuana, changing it from a Schedule 1 to a Schedule 3 drug. This is ABC News. Today marks 20 years since the first legal same-sex marriage in the U.S.
20 years ago, two women, Marcia Kadish and Tanya McCloskey, became the first same-sex couple to be legally married in the U.S. The momentous event happened in a courthouse just after midnight in Massachusetts. Throughout that day, 77 other gay couples tied the knot across the state. In 2022, President Biden signed the Respect for Marriage Act to require states to recognize marriages performed in other states.
Today's a good day.
Yeah. M. Nguyen, ABC News, Washington.
California state lawmakers are considering a bill that would ban anti-aging skincare products from being sold to children under 13. This includes many over-the-counter skincare and cosmetic products like moisturizers that contain ingredients such as vitamin A and alpha hydroxy acids, which is meant for mature skin. Industry reps argue that the bill is unrealistic and say it would be largely impossible to enforce. Dave Packer, ABC News.
1, 2, 3.
What you doing?
4, 5, 6. Counting the first place awards from the Wisconsin Broadcasters Association.
WISS in Oshkosh for the best promo. WAUK in Waukesha, best Maggie Dawn Show web story. WMDX in Madison, best web story about the Max Sync radio show. And WFHR in Wisconsin Rapids for best show, interview, and promo.
Informed, entertained, connected.
And winning.
Your local Civic Media radio station. Learn more at civicmedia.us.
Fabulous Farm Bay PM Yankee here with the Midwest Farm Report live weekday mornings right here on WGBW. It's about your food and where it comes from. Tune in and learn. 5 a.m., 1590 a.m., 97.9 FM, the talk of Green Bay.
We've all felt left out. And for people who move to this country, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Vice President Kamala Harris back in Wisconsin Thursday. She spoke to black voters in Milwaukee about the administration's efforts to create economic opportunity.
You see the signs around Milwaukee and around our country brought to you by the Biden-Harris administration, and you see a crane and you see shovels in the ground.
Harris also talked about forgiving student loan and medical debt and improving access to housing. The Green Bay Packers will play at least 5 games on national primetime TV this football season. The NFL released its regular season schedule Wednesday night. The Packers will open the season with a game in Sao Paulo, Brazil on Friday, September 6th, and they'll host a game on Thanksgiving night. And that's what you need to know. I'm Terry Bell, and this is Civic Media News.
A new beginning for the Phoenix. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The UW Green Bay Phoenix made an unusual hire this week when they named Doug Gottlieb their new head basketball coach. Gottlieb says he'll continue his daily national radio sports talk show while coaching the team. UWGB athletic director Josh Moon.
Again, he's won in everything he's done. You know, building a media career and then balancing that with how much exposure this university's got in the last day. It says a lot. So he's going to have to figure that balance out. So, and then what is he going to stop doing? That's his challenge, but you know, we believe he can figure it out.
Baseball, the Brewers face the Astros in Houston tonight. Pat Murphy asked how Joey Ortiz, nicknamed Tito, is doing at third base.
Yeah, I feel like Tito's taking that step, you know, to being an everyday player. You know, I really do. You know, when he swings at a breaking ball in the dirt, I want to tase him. You know, I don't know if that's legal, but...
That's the Brewers' Pat Murphy. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
Mostly sunny today, our high right around 77 this afternoon with wind out of the southwest at 5 to 10. Tonight, clear 53, tomorrow sunshine 84, slight chance of an isolated shower late tomorrow afternoon into tomorrow evening. Then on Sunday, more sunshine with a high near 80. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Currently, it's 51.
Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, I'm joined by writer-director, actor Bruce Jarko, and Terry Barr from Max Inc. joins the show live from the Willie Nelson concert to give us a preview of what's live in the lair on Saturday night.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, weeknights 7 till 9.
You're listening to the talk of Green Bay, WGBW, home for the Devil's Advocates radio show.
Coming to Northeast Wisconsin, live from the Civic Media Studios at the City Deck Landing in Green Bay, and featuring TV and radio broadcast veteran John Mino, along with the City of Green Bay's longest-serving mayor, Jim Schmidt. This is Mino and the Mayor. Here are your hosts, John Mino and Jim Schmidt.
Hey, thank you very much. Welcome back. Mino the Mayor here in a very, very, very foggy Friday morning. How much fun is it having Ed the Diver? I'm just fascinated. I would love to do what he does. I can't do what he does because I can't swim, and I don't want to be in dark water not seeing stuff, and I'm afraid of snapping turtles.
That's your job.
That's my job.
You know what is cool about his job is, our job too a little bit, but how new is that every day?
I know.
You never know what you're going to find.
Well, just tell us about that .30-30 rifle he found from 1941.
Well, 1941 rifle that was wrapped in plastic, so you might want to think it was used for something.
Yeah, but love it.
He brought, like a good citizen, he brought it to the police department. They kept it for 3 months. They did the
research on it. Exactly what I would have done.
Yeah. They did the research on it. They tied back to nothing, and they gave it back to him, which is very cool.
Man, I can't wait to get him to the UP at some of those places, though.
I think that mind thing, you're really onto something. Right.
I know. Yeah. I mean, I found lots of cool relics around those places. I really have.
Yeah.
You know what? Is Mark there? Mark?
He is.
Hi. All right.
Mark Houston, Bell and Sports Medicine. Okay, we need to clear something up, but I'm not even going to say the words. Oh, I thought you were giving me grief when I talked about my shoulder thing. I thought you were calling me something that, you know what I'm saying?
What's the correct word?
What did I tear in my shoulder? Allegedly, what do you think? And I said one of those Brewer prospects has the issue. Tampa Bay Rays, their entire staff that they started the season, 5 guys are on the disabled list, and 2 of them have what I think I have in my shoulder. And what is that called?
No exercise.
Mark?
That's called your labrum.
Labrum.
So, folks,
let's repeat that, John.
Labrum. Okay. All right. Let's move
Why
on.
Why would they have two body parts so similar?
They're not similar.
They sound exactly the same.
A little bit.
They are not similar, though. Right. Why is Mark more on the medical side?
And it's like, oh, okay. So I possibly have a torn labrum.
Labrum.
Just call it a shoulder.
Labrum. Yeah. Okay. Which is common with major league pitchers.
Yeah. So your labrum is the best way to describe your labrum is it's like a piece of cartilage that helps deepen the socket. So your shoulder, you've got a labrum. In your hip, you've got a labrum.
Oh.
So.
Okay.
Yes.
Thank you.
So you, it helps, you need it.
Well, that's why I'm not an athlete anymore, really, because of this.
Yeah, just everything else is.
Yeah, everything else is good. Yeah. So thank you for clearing
that. I'm glad that you tore your labrum.
Yeah, not
the other thing that I said I tore. Yeah. Especially with the log splitter. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you for clearing that for me, Mark. Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you
made me laugh in front of my wife and son in the kitchen last night, and I couldn't explain it. You know?
Okay. I'm just glad that I will not ever use that other word if I ever did here on the air. I'm not sure I did, but thank you very much for that.
Yeah.
So
all right.
There.
Yeah.
Well, Mark, let's talk about some other sports that, you know, we talk about pro football and whatever, but things that people do, like flag football even, and these kind of things where there's a lot more injuries sometimes than people realize. How do you prevent that?
Yeah, I mean, you don't, but I think it's a great opportunity. Flag football is a new, I could say it's a new sport. It's an up-and-coming sport. It's actually going to be in the Olympics, I believe, in 2028. There is actually a local female that I believe is in contention to be on the team. It's, you know, flag football is being pushed more, and it's for a couple different reasons. We've got young girls that want to play it. We have, in some areas, the NFL, I think, has done a big push because there are some areas you cannot afford turf fields. You can't afford the bags, the sleds, the helmets. That there's a lot of money that's in football. So they've done flag football, and they've done some of these initiatives where the pro teams have hosted weekends, and they have flag football teams come in.
I think
when
there's
you
a
talk
lot.
Flag football, it's you're talking, you know, the flags, which is it's a strap that's got two flags that wraps around you, and you have a smaller football. That's it. You know, I mean, so it's just a great opportunity for kids to get active and do something they love.
And I think parents, I remember talking to Jordy Nelson about this, and because there's all the concussions and stuff for kids. And he said, look, I prefer my kids play flag football. And because really you're playing football at that age to really learn the plays, learn the what different positions playing. We always got in trouble because we tie our flags together and you can't really do that. I'm sure everybody did that. But that I think that's a great way to learn the sport without the contact that some of these kids would run into with.
Although concussions could still happen. Right, Mark?
Well, you know, so it's interesting to bring that up. So it's the Packers this weekend are hosting a regional flag football tournament. And when I say regional, they're bringing people in from states, Minnesota, Illinois, Kansas, Ohio, I believe. It's being hosted at the Don Hudson, in the Don Hudson Center, and outside on their practice fields. It's you cannot register it. The team's already been assigned. There's a large kickoff tonight with it. And then the winners will go off to the opportunity to go to the national competition. The NFL is taking a big push. Just like Jim said, it's a way for you to learn the sport, learn the plays, learn what football is all about, and not get the collision and the fierce hits.
How to shake hands with the other team if you lose.
Did you hear that, Mark, earlier?
No.
Get this, Mark. Okay. Like, John Minow, comes across as, pretty good guy. Do you know, we're talking about things that you've never done. John played a lot of sports. Actually, was quarterback in his high school. He never shook hands after he lost a game. He was that kid that pouted, went back to the locker room, or sat in the dugout. Can you believe that?
That's hard to believe.
It is.
I know.
I'll always tell you, I was the athletic trainer with the Green Bay Gamblers. I will tell you, and I love it. I've just told my wife and son this recently. The best is hockey. After you've played a 7-game series and you've gone toe to toe with these
blood and guts,
left it all on the ice.
After 7 games, you line up Stanley Cup Finals. You lose, and then you shake these people. But to me, hockey shows what it's all about because you line up and you do it individual to individual, and you shake their hands. And it may be tough, but that's what happens. That's it to me. Sports, I wish we would do more of that in America.
I mentioned that. I said that's one of the great traditions in American sport because these guys are so fierce against each other for, you know, a 2-week span, basically. And it's not just because, you know, in college basketball, especially, you barely touch the guy and you move on to the next guy. That is tremendously sincere where these guys will stop and have a manly handshake and talk, you know, one-on-one sincerely with it. I think it's one of the great traditions in all of sports, and you're exactly right, Mark. I agree with you.
You can belittle the fact that you're right. Some sports, it's just, they just...
That's just...
But they do it, John. You went to the dugout and pouted. So I just think, I think, right, Mark, would you agree part of sports is learning how to lose, although we hate it?
Oh, it is. it's not, everyone talks about the winning, and it's great, but what about the other teams that are losing, or what about the teams that are going 0-9 and can't win a game to save their life. It's just it's an opportunity to teach young kids.
I do.
It's not about winning or losing. But
did
life.
You ever coach, John? Mark, you coached, right? You coached Little League
in
did
Arizona.
You? Okay, Mark, did you coach?
I can't really say that I've. I mean, you help out, but you can't.
Okay,
really
I was YMCA sixth grade football, but coaching's that's just part of it. But the why was always like, and I think I've said this before, but they were always like, look, it's not about winning; it's about learning the positions and having fun. I'm like, I don't know.
I was never that guy. I
said to the students or to the kids, I'm like, look, okay. Okay, we got to have fun. What's more fun, winning or losing? Oh, winning. Okay, well, let's win.
Yeah, that's for me. I don't know why. I was a terrible, terrible loser.
Wow.
And you're right. I was that bad
kid. At the end of football games, I'm going to make sure that you start shaking Ted.
There you go.
Oh, me and Ted, we shake hands every time. Okay. Yeah. Okay. I didn't give him advice what he should do better next game.
Yeah.
Stuff like that.
Hey, Mark, the other thing that's these tournaments that are coming up for us older people, pickleball. Like what?
I want to start playing that this summer.
They got a big thing going on in. We saw that now.
Western.
Well, no, I don't know about Western, but Howard, has their big tournament coming.
Oh, do
up
they?
Too, yeah,
I might go watch it. I've never really seen it in action. Well, I've played that. I would like to do it.
These resorts that you go to.
Why don't the two of you guys form a team?
I would love to, but I don't even know the rules.
But he would never shake my hand if we. Yeah, I want to play with somebody who's. I wouldn't
shake your hand even if we won the championship. Yeah. I'll be honest with you.
But these resorts you go to now, they all have pickleball. You know,
it's just like a wiffle ball, right?
Yeah, and it's like tennis, right? Isn't it?
But
tennis
it's a really small court, obviously.
No.
Oh, is it? It's not a full size tennis court, is it? Is it, Mark?
Well, it's not a full size tennis court, but it's not a. I don't think it's a small court. Well, maybe it is. I don't know.
I would say it's a mini tennis court.
Okay. Right. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. All right.
Anyway, but what do you do to, because especially if it's like, okay, let's go play and you haven't done anything. Or like right now, what do we do if we're going to go golf and we haven't done anything all winter? What are just a couple things that you would recommend as the bell and guru?
Well, I mean, I think like it doesn't matter what you're doing, just warming up, like, so if you're going to use, pickleball, you're going to use your legs and your upper body. Yeah. So guess what? You maybe need to stretch your calves and stretch your Achilles and stretch your quads and hamstrings. Pickleball, it's a lot of start, stop. Yeah. Where running, if you're going to say, hey, I'm going to go, no one's going to go and run out 10 miles when you haven't done anything. So, how about just walking for 15 minutes and try that for the first week or two, and then try to walk for 30 minutes. Or sometimes, you guys have heard me say this, look at the telephone poles down the street and run between two telephone poles. It may only be 200 feet, but just run and then walk.
Hey, Mark,
and run again.
I'm going to tell you something that I did wrong when I used to run. I was, I have that stupid Vince Lombardi 1960s attitude. You run till it hurts, and then you run more, and you blah, blah, blah. And I was reading a great article about, it was question and answer with somebody just like you. And they said, hey, I want to run in this meet coming up or whatever. I'm in great training now, putting in all these miles. What advice would you give? And the number one advice he gave was, let your body rest. People want to go out, 6 days a week or something. He says nothing is worse for your body versus what you think you're doing. So great for your body is doing that. He said you wouldn't run a car if it was low on oil. You wouldn't have old tires. Let your body recover is so important. Wouldn't you agree?
Oh, yeah. It's the same thing why some people jump in and do an hour workout the first day and then don't jump back into it because they're saying, I am so sore.
Right. Yeah. Mark, can you stick around? We're going to set a break. I got a couple more things I want to talk to you about, okay?
Yeah. All right.
Awesome.
All right,
cool. Mark Houston, Bell and Sports Medicine. Back right after this.
The Talk of Green Bay, WGBW.
Do you have a loved one in a nursing home? California mega millionaire Eric Hovde has some bad news for you. He doesn't think they have long to live. It's true. In a recent interview, Hovde said, if you're in a nursing home, you only have a 5-6 month life expectancy. Almost nobody in a nursing home is at a point to vote. That's shocking. But it gets worse. One of Hovde's companies is named a co-defendant in a wrongful death suit from an incident at a California senior living facility. He even referred to himself as an expert in the nursing home business. Yikes, that doesn't sound like the kind of expert we need. Call Eric Hubdy at his California office, 714-730-4444. Tell him that Wisconsin seniors deserve to vote and get the care they deserve. Paid for by A Better Wisconsin Together Incorporated.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, home for the Todd Allball Show.
Hey, welcome back. Mino the Mayor here on a Friday morning. Very foggy out there. Please be very careful. One of our favorite people to have on, Mark Hewson, Bellin Sports Medicine, is joining us. Mark, I was talking about that article I read about the number one thing, the advice they're giving these days versus the old days, or whatever you want to call it, is take days off. Rest up, rest up, rest up. We'll do more for you than pushing it. And Jim, this was also in that article, and Jim just brought something up. Go ahead, Jim. So I think it's important,
so Mark,
too.
I,
but we can't quite think of the name of it, so you're going to have to help us out with this.
But as you can probably tell, if you're watching online, I've been working out three times a week, and you can't tell.
It's the camera, Jim.
Okay, John. But anyway, no, Mark, what I want to say is I was a little freaked out. I have a trainer, and you know, we push weights and do things, but we'd always stretch after. We still do that. I got to work out today. Like 5-10 minutes, and I'm never sore. And I just remember being so sore after working out. So,
and you wouldn't do anything.
Right. Well, you know, you bench press some weights.
No,
the next
but
day,
what I'm saying is you'd get done and
then
just
take
walk
a shower
away.
And then go back to work. So talk about the stretching before, which you mentioned about pickleball and some other things, but the stretching after for people.
And there's some kind of a chemical or something that's affected in your muscles because of that, isn't there, Mark? I can't think. I want to say enzymes or something. I thought there was something or some kind of a acid. I don't know. Go ahead.
Well, yeah. I mean, stretching is just good to, it's like, just like you're warming up your muscles. You're going to cool down your muscles afterwards, you know, and it's, you know, you should get in a routine of stretching. I'm the worst one to probably talk to you about this because when I was out vacationing, I realized my right hamstring was tight. And it's probably because I didn't stretch before we went up in the mountains to hike. But right. You feel it. You know, I mean, it's one of those things. Okay. It reminds you, you got to stretch. You got to, we get tighter. You know, young kids are so flexible. Wow. And then all of a sudden you hit that age of about 16, 18, 20, 25, 30. And we get tighter and we sit around.
I think
you guys know, we've talked about this. We live in Wisconsin and we're not as active during the wintertime. And then you try to go do something and muscles are tight. Tendons are tight. Body parts are tight. So yes, it takes a little bit, just to kind of, you just got to stay loose.
Right. 10 minutes before, 10 minutes after.
I think I just came up with the term. Have you ever heard of lactic acid?
Oh yeah. So like, okay. So a great example is I'll give you major league pitchers. Major league pitchers, you develop lactic acid with throwing because they're throwing it, you know, 100 miles an hour. Major league pitchers. You know, everyone thinks, oh, they go and ice their arm right away. No, they don't. It was something that it was taught for a long time. And I did some work with the Milwaukee Brewers. Actually, what happens is after they get done with the workout, a lot of those guys go get on a bike and they ride for 30 minutes because you're trying to use your blood system kind of, or you're trying to use your cardiovascular system and the blood to kind of flush the arm out because you're building it, you know, throwing so much. And you want to flush it out. They may get a massage and help flush that lactic acid out. So, you know, going for a walk just because you're using muscles would be great. Or you get done with a run, you could still walk around a block and it just kind of, it helps take some of those muscles that are overused. And yes, lactic acid, that's why you sometimes get that soreness.
How proud are you guys both of me?
I just looked it up. You're spot on. Then that's true. And that's why, like, if you warm up for 10 minutes, you should cool down for 10 minutes. At least that's what this guy says to me, but I'm.
But you know what? It's so funny. The archaic way. I mean, how much sports medicine has grown? Mark, in 40 years, just beyond belief.
Right, no pain, no gain.
We have to, you know what, though? I'm not calling you guys old because I'm going to be 50 here in 2 weeks.
Me too.
But I will tell us, we all went through this. So what we did years ago, it just sometimes changes.
Mark, we didn't have, and when I was in high school and junior college, we had no water during practices. No water during practices.
Johnny, we not only had no water, we had to run with wetsuits.
Did you really?
Yeah, and then
wrestling?
Wrestling.
And then you guys were nuts.
Yeah, we were. And X-Lax?
No.
I swear to God. Wow. I swear to God. And then you just, you take that, because the cuffs around your wrists were, you know, they were elastic cuffs, and you would just
the sweat
pull it back. It would just run off like water.
Wow.
But then you had to make weight. You know,
I could never be a wrestler. I give the old school high school wrestlers
longest
all the credit
season,
in the world.
Now all seasons are long.
And try to keep the weight room as hot as possible.
But back then it was Thanksgiving, Christmas, New Year's.
You couldn't eat, right?
Yeah, it was a terrible
unbelievable
sport.
Isn't that crazy, Mark, what we used to do?
Athletes are in better shape now. I mean, they're much better shape, and mentally they're in better shape, too. We were just like, whatever.
I think, though, that we're smarter about realizing, like, not having also a three-hour practice. But sometimes, you know, especially young kids, you get past an hour and a half, maybe 2 hours. Those kids are checking out mentally. They can be standing there and physically doing fine, but mentally they've checked out.
Right.
You know, as much as we idolize Vince Lombardi, there was only one, like even Larry McCarron and I talk with this, there was only one Dick Bennett. Lots and lots of people have tried to emulate everything Dick Bennett did, and they fail, okay? Some guys, and Vince Lombardi had a certain thing where he could read guys, and but here's the deal. I was reading a book on somebody that played for the Packers and played for the Baltimore Colts, and he said Don Shula tried so hard to be like Vince Lombardi and have these grueling three-hour practices twice a day in the middle of the afternoon, hitting all the time, hot as possible. And they had good teams, but he never achieved what Vince Lombardi did. But that was our era where all these coaches thought, I'm going to be as hard on these guys, make them work out as hard as possible, hit as much as possible, because Vince Lombardi does that.
Yeah.
But Vince Lombardi's practices were very, very organized and actually not that long, but really worked for that hour and a half type of thing. So isn't that funny, Mark, where sometimes somebody knows what they're doing and other people try to emulate, but they don't get it right?
It's just, and you have to know the sport. You have to know the kids. Think about what you're doing, though, maybe in, let's take basketball or wrestling. What you maybe do for a practice in November is maybe different than December versus 1 week before your regional tournaments.
Yeah. I just what John said about trying to emulate people. That's dangerous in everything.
Absolutely.
I mean, not just coaching, but I'm talking the athlete. You want this guy runs X amount. That doesn't mean you should do the same thing because we're all different.
Yep.
But
anyway,
I think that's really important because I think, you know, I mean, look at this weekend. I mean, it's going to be 70s, 80s. And of course, the marathon's this weekend, too. I'm working the finish line. I'm not running it. But I just hope people have really, really trained. Many, many people, this is their first marathon, the Green Bay one. And, you know, you just hope everything's fine. Of course, you know, there's so much medical staffing there, and I'm sure you guys participate as do everyone else. But this is the time that people start getting into shape, and I just want to, I just want to underscore again that, you know, warming up, stretching, and then after you're done with your exercise, however long it is, to spend the same amount of time cooling down, stretching.
Well, what about, and let me ask you this, because at some training camps now you see it, I don't know if the Packers do or not, they'll have the big tubs of just ice cold water, and they'll sit in those. Which would dry, and Mark Kirk Cousins, I saw on that special that they had about NFL quarterbacks. He even does that in the offseason in Lake Michigan. What do you think of that, Mark?
Yeah, well, they're learning a lot about what it does with cold. I will also tell you, you know, what some of those cold tubs are there for, be honest with you. It's, we go back to if you get heat stroke.
Yeah.
And people who get, so the biggest thing we've learned on this is, never to transport someone. You're literally cooking your body on the inside. If someone is really struggling, this could happen running. This could happen playing football because you got so much equipment on and stuff like that. But it is easier. I will tell everyone, it is easier for everyone to put someone in a cold tub and get cooled down. That may literally save their life. There's a method called the taco method. All of our athletic trainers now carry a tarp.
Wow. So, Mark, we're going to run out of time.
We got to pick
this up. Apologize.
We'll talk later.
Okay, yeah, this is awesome stuff. Mark Houston, Bevin Sports Medicine. Phenomenal stuff. Thank you, Mark.
The Talk of Green Bay, WGBW. Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
So you say you've been battling with high cell counts so far this spring. Overall herd health, not what you'd like. Maybe even a question about stray voltage? Well, guess what? The Wisconsin Farm Center is there to help. I'm PM Yonke, starting you off before the opening bell on a finally Friday morning. Quick look at what's happening in agribusiness news. State veterinarian Lene Schad says that the service they offer through the Wisconsin Farm Center is many times overlooked by producers in the state. She says they're standing by with ready resources to try to help you troubleshoot through any herd-related issues.
Farmers that have problems on the farm and can't necessarily solve it with their current veterinarian, or if they just need another set of eyes or even some fees for diagnostic testing that they are short on. I've been dealing with some lameness issues, some mastitis issues, trying to get somatic cell counts under control, and then also involved with some questions where there's stray voltage may or may not have been diagnosed on the farm and seeing if there are other issues going on contributing to the problem.
Dr. Lene Schott, she's one of the staff at the Wisconsin Farm Center in the herd-based diagnostics program. If you'd like to get started, she says there's a couple steps that you need to take. First, you need to call them. The number, 800-942-2474. That's 800-942-2474 to get connected with the Wisconsin Farm Center and its herd-based diagnostics program, all offered for free. Markets in overnight electronic trade as we start a Friday morning. So far, it looks like our commodities holding firm, minus dairy. Numbers are next.
Grounded from Helena is a powerful adjuvant that can take your herbicide application to the next level. It reduces AI loss from UV light and off-target movement while improving deposition and absorption. All to help you unleash precision in every spray application. Spray smarter with Grounded from Helena. Always follow label instructions and check registration before use. Contact your Helena representative to learn more.
Don't let sick calves get you down and drain your profits. Get your calves up and moving with BioVet's Calf Electrolyte. Our base light product contains balanced electrolytes for restoring and maintaining proper fluid levels in scouring calves. Base light also provides additional energy to support recovery. It's easy to mix, and calves drink it down to the last drop. Learn more about Baselight at bio-vet.com.
Innovation, that's BioVet.
December corn's up 3 cents now at 4.84. November beans are up 11 at 12.09. July wheat this morning up 9 at 6.72. Barrel cheese gained 6 cents yesterday at 2.12. 40-pound block cheese dropped 2¾ cents to 1.90 this morning. The June Class 3 milk that goes into cheese down a penny right now, 21.11 a hundredweight. I'm PM Yonke.
This is your hometown radio, Refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
Mostly sunny today, our high right around 77 this afternoon with wind out of the southwest at 5 to 10. Tonight, clear 53, tomorrow sunshine 84, slight chance of an isolated shower late tomorrow afternoon into tomorrow evening. Then on Sunday, more sunshine with a high near 80. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Temperature now 49.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
One of the most prolific columnists in the Midwest. Mr. James Causey, one of your columns, you mentioned that you got into the news because of the news quiz.
Yes. I would like to be the first person picked. And so.
Yes. Getting picked first for the news quiz teams.
We need to bring that back, actually. I need to talk to my paper about bringing that back.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Tom has been a teacher for over 40 years. One day, I think one of the students had asked the question and he didn't remember the answer. And I also noticed that he was letting his class out earlier than they were supposed to let out. I was really starting to worry.
Levi and I talked about how it would change our lives, but he was there beside me.
When something feels different, it could be Alzheimer's. Now is the time to talk. Visit alz.org/ourstories to learn more. A message from the Alzheimer's Association and the Ad Council.
Broadcasting from the City Deck Studios on North Washington Street, the talk of Green Bay, 1590 AM and 97.9 FM WGBW. EW. Take Mino and the Mayor with you anywhere. Download the Civic Media app today from the Apple Store or Google Play Store and text the studio directly, all from the Civic Media app. Download it today. Now, once again, here's Mino and the Mayor, John Mino and Jim Schmidt.
Hey, thank you very much. Welcome back. Man, it's fun having Mark Hewson on.
Yeah,
we gotta give Mark his own show. Yeah. I'm serious. And there's so much. And it just goes so fast. We do two segments, but it's just, he has such insightful, good information.
And like you said, it's advanced.
Yeah.
I mean, when
since our high
school
days, right. It's mind-boggling. Right. Yeah. Do we have Brandon on? Outstanding. Brandon Kennard, sports director, NBC26, is joining us. Brandon, how you doing, buddy?
I'm good, guys. Good morning.
Good morning to you.
We had the boss man on yesterday.
Yeah, he said good things about you.
He did.
Well, that's good to hear. Yeah, I'll have to go back and listen to that.
Yeah, he said he's sending you to Brazil for a week.
All expense paid. He's going to put you up front.
You and a guest?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, flying up front.
That's new to me. Yeah. So, maybe that broke up radio before I found out.
Yeah. maybe he didn't say that.
Yeah, something
like that. Or maybe we said that to him.
Yeah.
That's what it was.
When we asked him. He was sending us.
Right.
That's right. Right. Hey, Brandon, got to talk about this. We've talked to some other people about it. I want your opinion on it in regards to the new hiring at UW Green Bay.
It's an interesting one. You know, I remember watching Doug Gottlieb growing up, watching him on ESPN and then CBS, and now he's at Fox. And, you know, I knew he always wanted to get into coaching, knew he was a finalist there last year. And honestly, I kind of thought maybe that was just, we'll throw his name into some reports and get a little, you know, a little publicity from that. But here we are.
Here we are. pros and cons, basically. Jim comes up with the cons. I come up with the pros.
Yeah, I don't. I just, look, I don't know a lot about radio, but I do know a little bit about work. And I just don't know how you can have 200 stations prepare, and then you got to follow up, too, when you're done with the show. So I got to believe that's at least 6 hours a day with a two-hour show, at a minimum. And then,
I didn't get a chance go to the press conference on Wednesday. But what I'm really curious about, I did watch it, but just didn't have a chance to ask this question, is you have to be informed to do that radio show, right? So are you going to spend a Sunday in November when you might have a game on Monday or Tuesday watching NFL Red Zone all day so that you can be ready to talk about the NFL on your radio show on Monday instead of game planning, coaching, practicing? You know what I mean? It's just the two things don't jive in my mind. He did say Wednesday, you know, it's for now. We'll continue doing the show for now, and then we'll see. I'm with you, Jim. I just have a hard time understanding the time management and the balance of all that, because those are two very demanding jobs.
Right, and if they both start going south, you know, you got to lean into them big time. I mean, if his ratings start slipping, is he going to give up even more basketball? Or if basketball starts slipping, is he going to really? I mean, I got to believe his income stream is coming from the radio side. I don't know how important money is to him, but I just, you know, I can see maybe owning
the. I mean, he said doing the show allows me to take less money to coach every day. And, you know, hopefully they can hire some better, more high level assistants and things like that. I mean, the cons are obvious. The one we talked about with the radio show on top of it, and the no college coaching experience is a big con in my mind too, but the pros are this is good publicity for your program, a nationally known voice, a nationally known name. Now Green Bay has already been talked about. UW Green Bay basketball, that is, has already been talked about more in the national media this week than maybe in the 10 years before this, you know? So that is an obvious pro.
Just the last thing I want to say about, you know, I think people can manage two jobs, but not when you're the face of both. You know, he is the front man on the radio, and he's going to be the front.
Oh, he's big time radio.
Right. So I don't know. I worry about it. And maybe if he does it, I got something to learn, because I just think that's to pull those two things off and win both.
It'd be unprecedented.
It'd be great.
Nobody's ever done it before. So, Brandon, but you branched to something that I say when Jim and I almost did the, you know, the positive negative type thing. Mine was, and I've, you know, been so involved with Green Bay basketball over so many years, I've never known them to get national publicity the way they're getting national publicity about this, and with the way the game is these days, where it's just completely 180 degrees different than it was 5 years ago with the transfer portal, it's not about recruiting high school kids anymore. It's recruiting other college ball players that you can just place in the program and they can play right away. Those kinds of kids out there, some kid at an Oklahoma State who maybe isn't getting enough playing time or something, a Doug Gottlieb can call them, who has every connection there is in the NBA and in college basketball, you know, so that's a big positive along those lines, wouldn't you think?
I would agree. I think that that's definitely the idea behind it. You know, at the beginning of that introductory press conference on Wednesday, Chancellor Michael Alexander made some comments about how in academics and in college sports these days, you have to think outside the box. You can't be afraid to do things differently. And that pretty much confirmed in my mind, okay, they are thinking of this through a new lens, through a lens of this is going to help us attract more attention, through a lens of this is going to attract us, get more NIL donations so we can pay these players more. And I think that third one that you just mentioned, John, of these players might recognize Doug Gottlieb and say, he's got connections, I want to go play for him.
Yeah.
My kind of concern there would be, I'm not sure that 17 to 21-year-olds, that this is the type of media they're consuming. You know, I think my generation, certainly a generation older, we all knew Doug Gottlieb because we all watched SportsCenter every night. I don't know that that this name is going to resonate with that generation quite as much, but he certainly still has the connections and things like that, I think, to be able to help him. And I think some players will recognize that.
All right. I want to be positive too. I'm a season ticket holder, keeping my tickets. I want him to win, but you know, so many times coaches, you know, if you're not doing that well, they just beat into your head. You're not focused. You're not focused. You got this girlfriend, you got this job that's, you'll get your head in the game or get out of the game. And now this guy's like, okay, I just hope he can relate to these players. Players today are different than they were, you know, 30 years ago when we were. But I just think it's a hard message because you want to be genuine. I mean, people can, it's not like, you know, do as I say, not as I do, or whatever, however that goes.
I agree.
But I hope it works. I mean, look, I'm a huge GB fan. I just hope it works.
All right, Brandon Kinnard, sports director, NBC 26. Brandon, another question I have, switching sports here just a little bit. Obviously, the Packers schedule came out, and the Thanksgiving game is phenomenal. The Thanksgiving Miami. Night with against Alec Ingold and Tua and everybody like that. And we had your boss, as we mentioned yesterday, Ryan, and he said, hey, man, it's like Christmas morning when that schedule comes out.
26.
For you guys and everything like that. And there really is, when you follow it as closely as you do and like I used to, there's something special about when you see that actual NFL schedule come out, isn't there?
I mean, just to look at it through the media lens,
yeah.
I can plan my fall.
Yeah,
you know,
that's right. Yep.
That's what I like. I know, okay, they're home this weekend. This is the bye. This is a road game, you know, yada, yada, yada. So, but it is fun. I remember I still do it, and I especially remember doing it when I was younger and I was a fan as a kid. The first thing you do is, okay, this is a win. This is a loss. This is a win. This is a win. You know what I mean? You go through, okay, I got 11-6. You know, what do you guys got?
Yeah.
It's always a lot of fun to see it. And who knows what's actually going to happen because – it's May right now, and who knows what these teams are going to look like come November. This is a year-to-year league. And the one I always go back to is when the 2020 schedule came out. I remember they played at San Francisco on a Thursday. And this is when they had just got crushed by San Francisco twice the season before, including in the NFC Championship. And I remember thinking, there is no way they're going to fly out west on a short week and win that game. And San Francisco ended up having 5 to 10 major injuries that year. And the Packers went in there and won by, I think, 25 points.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
That's the one I always come back to is what you think in May is not actually going to be the reality come September, October, November, December.
Yeah.
So keep that in mind when you're going through the schedule and checking off W's and L's. But at the same time, it's just fun, right? It's
absolutely
fun to try to project.
It is fun to do that.
It's good to have fun in sports again.
It is. It's great. And some people here bet on these games. So, I don't know, John.
Is that true?
Yeah, it's rumors. It's rumors. But so many of these two things, right? Deer hunting. I think you look at the schedule. The other thing, but when you talk about those games, Brandon, and I think we all sit down and do that, but a lot of these games are within 3-4 points. You know, it's not like
it's crazy.
It's not like that blowout stuff. I don't know. It's tough to
anybody that makes money off of Las Vegas. God bless them.
It's hard.
They're so close on these things. It's mind-boggling,
man. And you take the points, and I like to bet straight up, and even that's tough.
Well, even like last night, I was watching the pregame show for the NBA because I'm a big Nuggets fan. I love Joker, and
how they do.
And everybody was like, you know what? Series is going to end. Nuggets are on a roll right now. Timberwolves are buried. What did they beat them by? 45?
Yeah.
The Timberwolves last night?
Yeah, it was a big, I saw the Timberwolves went on like a 27-2 run
yes.
in the second quarter.
Yes. Yes.
So it was over from there.
Yes. And all these guys were like, series going to end now. Denver's going to win it. You know, blah, blah, blah. Forget it. Timberwolves are dead. Yep. And those were the experts saying this. And you just, sports is so tough.
That's a big part of the reason why I love sports.
Yes.
Because you never know what's going to happen. If you're watching a movie or a TV show, you can sometimes predict the plot. Okay, I saw that coming, whatever. It's still entertaining, but you kind of can sense what's coming a lot of the time. Sports, you never know. And I stay away from making predictions for that exact reason, you know, throughout the fall. And I'm sure you too, you know, John, you get people coming up to you. Oh, who's going to win this weekend?
Absolutely.
I don't know. You know, if I did know, I'd be a lot richer.
Much but less the point spread.
You just never know.
Oh yeah. But the odds are good now. I mean, it to bet like who's going to win the division. You know what I mean? Because it changes. But I mean, right now you get some pretty good odds. And if you luck out, you look at the salary of the NFL teams. I mean, it goes to what, four or five guys, really, the majority of it. Yeah. And if one of those guys go down.
And in many cases, it goes to guys who aren't even here anymore. Yeah. Like a Bakhtiari and people like that.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, it's a great. I can't wait for the season to kick off. But I will say this.
You talk about the conference. This is a. I mean, everybody, okay, the Lions, right. Of course, had a magical season last year. Is that going to continue? The Vikings losing Kirk Cousins, I think, is huge. I mean, I thought the Vikings were, you know, one of the top teams in the NFL. I thought Cousins was awesome, and he's gone. The Bears quarterback again.
The Packers
having momentum. Yeah. I mean, you want to talk about...
It's fun.
Exactly. It's fun because you can't predict anything. Can you brand it with this division?
No, I mean, the thing I would predict is that Packers Lions will be 1-2 in some form, whether that's Green Bay 1, Detroit 2, or vice versa. I would say it's a pretty clear cut top two, bottom two teams in the division right now. I think Minnesota wasn't that great last year with Cousins. Their defense has really struggled the last couple of years. Now you're bringing in Sam Darnold and JJ McCarthy as your two quarterbacks to battle it out. I mean, I think they'll have a down year. I hate that for Aaron Jones because I love that guy. I'd like to see him have success, but at the same time, it's the Vikings, so whatever.
Yeah, no.
Yeah, we're over.
Chicago, there's no sympathy.
Chicago has a good roster, I think. I like some of the moves that they've made. Caleb Williams, it obviously hinges on him. I mean, if he's the real deal, then they're going to be able to have some success. If not, then they're going to continue to have the same quarterback problems they've had for the last, 40 years.
I will say about the Bears, and I do have some friends who live down there that I'm in contact with. They're feeling better this year. They never really felt that as much as, they're a Bears fan. Yeah. They're feeling a little better this year. So it's going to be interesting. Just like you said, it's all really tied up to their number one draft choice.
If it doesn't work out with this guy, then it might never work out for them.
I would agree.
In the immortal words,
they might just have a quarterback curse.
I remember when Fonte was a new coach of the Packers, so they got off to a rough start, and Larry McCarron and I sitting next to each other in the press box, and Larry turns to me and goes, "What in the world are we going to do if Lindy doesn't get it done here?" And it's like, you know what they're going to do? They're going to fire him, or they're going to bring in somebody else, and maybe he'll get it done. So that's one thing about the NFL. It can turn 180 degrees in a hurry with a couple of a good coach and a couple of good players. That's pretty amazing. One last quick thing here for you, Brandon. Talk a little bit about Sports Showdown. You guys putting your schedule together?
I saw an early release from our good friend Ted Stefaniak a couple weeks ago.
Okay.
So it's the wheels are in motion.
All right. Are we going to do another pregame
show? Believe it or not, that was in April. We were looking at the high school football schedule already. That's how fast that stuff happens.
Jim and I were at a UWGB. Jim and I were at a UWGB game this year. Three separate people came up to me as we were walking in the corridor, asking me about the schedule and who we're going to have on Sports Show.
They love it.
Three separate people at a GB game in March, February.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
That's awesome. Of all the things we do, that is my favorite thing.
That's cool.
It truly, really, truly is. Just the fun of a high school football Friday night. I love putting that, I shouldn't take the credit for putting the schedule together. I give Ted a little assist of, hey, check this game out. Ted's the one that does all the work putting it together and organizing that with the athletic directors at the schools and all that. But, the schedule's coming together, and I do believe the plan is to do the schedule reveal show again sometime in July.
Great. You guys did a great job with that, the way you put that together.
Thank you, sir.
Appreciate it, buddy.
All right, Brandon. You did too.
I mean, you're the face of Sports Showdown.
Oh, man. So, we know that.
Well, mainly I told
face
about
radio
good
too.
Places to eat in Two Rivers because we were in Two Rivers that night. Brandon Kennard, you do a great job, buddy. Love your stories on local sports. Sports director, every C26. Keep it rocking, brother.
Appreciate you having me, guys.
You got it, buddy. Take care. See ya. When we come back, we got one more segment.
Yep,
and then what's up and live music. Back after this.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, home for Matt Nair on air.
College may not be the right path for your kid, but that doesn't mean they can't earn a good living and have a secure future. If they like working with their hands and want to help build up surrounding communities, they should consider a career in the skilled trades through a 4-year apprenticeship as a union carpenter. To learn more, it's easy. Visit northcountrycarpenter.org and fill out the interest form to get more information. That's northcountrycarpenter.org.
What does cheese, beer, and you have to do with local radio?
I know. It's Todd Alba and the Trick V. Olsen's What Makes Wisconsin Great Tour.
To get out of your own little silo and just listen to folks, you find out Wisconsin is pretty darn great already.
It's great to be from Wisconsin, Todd. It's just such a fantastic place.
Miss them in your town, more visits, and your chance to connect coming up.
The Todd Alba Show, weekdays noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and the app. You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW.
Oh, that's right. Hey, welcome back.
That is right. I've been very lenient the last week.
Thank you.
But you both keep running in, and I was reading something, but we just got to make a little change to the end of our show here. We're good.
One more time for this week. Pella Windows and Doors in Wisconsin, one of our favorite sponsors in the world. Jim, you've got them.
I love them. They just. So we have a little bit of money stuck into our house, which most people, that's the biggest investment they make, right? Is their home. Unless
maybe especially when you got a 100-year-old house.
Well, any house is your biggest investment. And you want it to be quality because hopefully you're going to stay there a long time. And especially if you're in our community. And, you know, we spent a lot of money on windows and doors, but it took us a few years. I just want to say that but we went with Pella. We wanted to go with the best because we knew we were going to stay there for a long time. And, you know, maybe 2, 3, 4 windows a year. But now that they have this financing, my God.
It's unbelievable.
For 4 years, you don't even...
No interest.
You know, I mean, that's cool.
Phenomenal. 48 months, no interest.
But the other thing that we liked about them, and I know you've been to my house.
Once,
that's true. But the variety that they showed us, we were really impressed with. Just the different...
You would never know they weren't original windows.
Right. That's what's cool.
You know what I mean? They blended with your... Because you've even got a plaque says your house was built in 1915, right?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
So you don't have... Let me ask you this, though. So you don't have to go through the National Historic Registration?
Well,
when you do stuff, or do you?
You can... Okay, so they got the...
Because your neighborhood is loaded with those kinds of houses.
So there's... You have to get the city approval if you do anything that faces the street. Anything exterior, you got to get approval from the city.
Oh.
Because, you know, they don't want vinyl siding and that kind of stuff. And, you know, of course, Pella would... I got to be honest with you. There might be some less expensive, large chain stores, and they may not like those windows versus something
what
like... Pella would just fly through that approval. In terms of the Wisconsin Historic, they will rebate you some money, but I don't know. It just wasn't worth the paperwork to me.
I heard they can be tough to deal with.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
There's... For what, 15, 20, 25%? Do you really want to go and go through all these committees and meetings?
Why do you do that? I mean, why do people go with a historic registration?
Well, because you can get some tax incentives. If you put $50,000 into your house, they may credit you on your taxes, $15,000, $20,000.
Oh, I didn't know that. Okay.
But is it worth it? I don't know. I don't know what the amount is. I just didn't do it. We still did the historic. And we had to get approval from the city for those windows that we put in on our third floor, because that was something that we did after we bought. And they were different windows. They're a little bit larger than the ones that were in there. And anyway, we got it approved. But Pella was great to work with, and they will go to the meetings for you and everything.
Oh, no kidding.
Yeah, no, I'm not kidding you, John.
Oh, wow. That's awesome.
They'll write the letters, and and they've got such a reputation in the state of Wisconsin, but for sure here in Brown County. And they were great to work with. And I just look, and good things might cost a little bit more, but it's the best value out there.
Cool. Pella Windows and Doors.
Love them.
You know what I stumbled upon last night was that guy. I can never think of his name, and I've watched his shows 100 times. He's like my hero, my idol. The guy that years ago in like the 60s moved to Alaska and built his own log cabin and did everything off the land. Like once a month, the guy would fly in with a little plane. Somebody help me out. It's always big on PBS. It's like their most popular show. This guy, and But here, I
is it Richard Lewis Prenke or something like
Richard
that?
Richard Lewis.
Oh, not a comedian.
He just died.
He just died, yeah.
No, is that so that homestead property, right? It's his land. He went up there. Okay, yeah.
One Man's Alaska?
Maybe.
Maybe that's it.
Oh, it's such a good.
I've seen
the
that.
Narrator, it's actually not him that narrates it, but his voice fits so perfectly with this guy.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
When sometimes somebody say, oh, you don't sound the way I thought you.
Right, like,
this narrator sounds so perfect. And he built this awesome cabin in Alaska by himself. And that, if I build my own cabin, I will say, thank you, God, my life was worth living. Because I will achieve that. That would be my biggest achievement. What?
You said a little bit higher than that. But yeah, that'd be nice to do.
I want to build my own cabin. No, not Alaska.
Okay.
Yeah. But no, that's my dream. All right. If I do that, my life was well done. Okay.
Pretty good life. Hey, speaking of good lives, I want to plug my show.
Yes.
This Sunday at 1 o'clock, you know, I have this show.
And I was honored to meet two of your guests yesterday.
You were in here yesterday when we were taping it. It's called Lean Local. And what we do is we just lean into the community on local issues. And, you know, as I say, you know, we're concerned about what's going on in the federal government and the state government, but, this show talks about leaning local, and we talk about issues, and I think it's really important that you talk about things because that's the only way you're going to address them. And we talked about homeless on the show, but last night, and this is on Sunday at 1 o'clock, I brought in two people who are working their way out of homelessness in the city of Green Bay. And just it's a little bit scary to talk to them because one guy, you know, you met him, you're like, wow, I can't believe that guy's in a homeless shelter. And it's like many people are 2-3 paychecks away from being homeless.
No question.
I mean, one bad health thing. I mean, without the proper insurance, a $60,000, you know, yep, rotator cuff.
And go and see what it costs for rent in most places,
right,
these days.
And loss of job. And, you know, we heard yesterday there's a company that in our community that's, that's closing. And, you know, I talked to some of the employees and they're worried. And so anyway, these two guys are homeless. And it goes from sleeping in.
I thought it was a year and a half ago.
How about that one guy who was sleeping?
He slept in a park on
top of a slide to stay away, like, from animals
and people messing with.
And it was in Green Bay on the east side. He slept, you know, for 8 months
on
top of a slide. And now he's, John, you read some of his poetry. Now but they just recovered, you know, alcohol. It's not easy. I mean, I don't want to say it's easy coming out of homelessness, but both these guys are going to be, you know, taxpaying.
And when's that on?
Sunday at 1. So it's here on 97.9 WGBW.
And you can also listen on the Civic Media app. So if you're listening in Oshkosh or whatever and can't get that station down there, tune it in.
I think that's fascinating. And then one guy had a really good job.
Oh, man.
I mean, I ate his food at one of the restaurants he used to cook at. It was one of my favorite restaurants. Yeah.
And I just want to give another plug for it. If you've missed a show or you want to go back, you can download that on Spotify. You can download that on civicmedia.us. Listen to all the shows if you missed out on it.
And it's local stuff. I mean, we've had Rich Heidel on here. We've had really some interesting people. And it's all about, you know, Greater Green Bay. That's what we talk about. And you know, I'm not afraid to ask the questions, and I kind of know after 20 years in politics, you know, what needs to be talked about. So anyway, and thanks for letting me do this show, Todd. I love this show with Johnny, but that Lean Local, I think it's a little different spin to it, a little more, not political, but
a little earthier, a little
more serious.
Yeah.
I think I said to John Johnson, how did the interview go last night? I said, well, it really wasn't that funny. And
maybe have John come in for the last 5 minutes and just pick up the.
I went home. I'm thinking, was that a good show? But it actually, you know, I think it was. So anyway,
it's gonna be great. Todd, would you do that text? I know you took it off.
Yeah, Dick Prenke, I believe, or Prenke is his name. Every time it's on PBS, I have to sit down and watch it. It's called Alone in the Wilderness.
Alone in the Wilderness. Yep. It's one of the most favorite things I ever watch. Love it. Love it.
But you're not going to be alone, Johnny. You're going to be with your wife in the wilderness, right?
Oh, yeah, good chance of that. We come back. Kristen, Dennis, Curtis, and live music. Stay with us.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, home for Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Todd Albaugh.
Hey, everybody, join us next time as we'll preview Sitten de Mai in Stoughton, a Norwegian fest. Also, Willie Nelson's in Madison. All that and more. Join us.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2.
It's 2024 and Worthington, Minnesota continues to shine. We've expanded so many things. It's a time of growth.
We've expanded recreation activities with our indoor ice arena, our indoor turf rec center and playground, and our outdoor water park, Water World, is ready for another season. Our schools have expanded, and so has our industry. We're continuing to expand our population also, with lots ready to build on Glenwood Heights. So let's grow together in Worthington, Minnesota. It's worth a look.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram. You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay.
WGBW 1590 AM Denmark. W250 CV Green Bay.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.